saved. Good to know you're going to have a home in heaven. Now, if you're here today and you're not 100% sure heaven is your home, don't leave this building until you know. And it isn't by becoming a Baptist. It isn't by joining a church. It isn't by getting in a baptismal tank. There's no fancy ceremony. It's simply by coming to Jesus Christ in faith, believing faith, trusting the fact that He gave His life to pay for your sin, shed His blood, was buried, died and was buried, and rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. And you come to Him, you get on your knees, you just say, "Lord, I'm sorry for my sin. I believe that Jesus Christ died for me, and I'm asking Him to save me and save my soul and change my life." And Jesus Christ will do all that and way more, way more. That's the idea of salvation. We don't have a religion here today. Well, we have a salvation. Amen? And we all offer it through the Scriptures by the authority of God as though we were ambassadors for Christ. We beseech you in Christ's stead to be ye reconciled unto God. Genesis 13. Genesis 13. Genesis chapter 13. I want to begin reading in verse number 1. Genesis 13, verse number 1. The Bible says, "And Abram went up out of Egypt." And as I'm sure you're aware, Egypt is a type of the world. He and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him, into the south. And Abram was very rich in cattle, in silver, and in gold. And he went on his journeys from the south, even to Bethel, unto the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Ai, unto the place of the altar, which he had made there at the first. And there Abram called on the name of the Lord. And Lot also, which went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents. And the land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together. For their substance was great, so that they could not dwell together. And there was a strife between the herdmen of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle, and the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelled then in the land. And Abram said unto Lot, "Let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, between my herdsmen and thy herdmen, for we be brethren. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right. Or if thou depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left." And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves the one from the other. Abram dwelled in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent toward Sodom. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. Let's pray. Father, we ask your blessing upon the message this morning. Lord, we pray that for a little while you'd put a hedge about this place. God, you'd bind the powers of darkness, Father, that you keep distractions to a minimum. That your Holy Spirit would have free reign amongst us here this morning. That, Father, you'd have the liberty that you need in each one of the lives that are represented here today, and each soul, Lord, that belongs to you. And, Father, if there's one that's not truly saved, God, would you convict them of it this morning and draw them to Christ? Father, we ask that you'd help us today to have ears to hear. Father, not just to let the words fall on the surface and let the fowls of the air come and snatch it away, but God, to let it sink deep into our hearts. God, that it might bring forth fruit. Lord, that when we leave here, we'll be closer to you than when we came in. God, help us to see the truth today in our lives. Help us to apply it. And God, may we be better servants for thee. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. and amen. You know, the Bible is a book about people. If you start reading your Bible, you'll find out that there's many, many accounts given of different individuals, of their lives, sometimes the mistakes that they made, sometimes even the friends that they had that weren't good friends. Boy, you can go on down through and see a lot of things. You can see where people did right, people did wrong. You know, there's a lot of different people in the Bible that are recorded for us. And these people are in there, and the accounts of their lives are in there so that we can learn. The Bible says in Romans 15:4 that whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning. We can learn a lot about ourselves by looking at other people that do the same things or similar things. Or maybe we can learn how to avoid problems by looking at somebody that has done something not right. You know, you think of the book of Jonah, and you see how Jonah ran from God. He thought he was going to be able to get away from the perfect will of God by just getting out of town. If I could just get away from that preacher, if I could just get away from those people that know me, if I can just get on that ship and head on down to Joppa where nobody knows who I am, then I can live any way I want and God won't know, and I don't have to go preach down there in Nineveh. And Jonah tried to run away, but you know what he found out? The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. You can't run from God. There's no hiding place on this earth that could keep you from God. I found that out. We look at Peter and his life and see how easy it is for someone even that walked close to Jesus for 3.5 years to deny him when the pressure is on and the peer group comes into play. All these accounts are there for us to learn, and I want us to look at a passage here that we just read and reference to the fact that there's some lessons we can learn from Lot. And Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, so it shall be in the coming of the Son of Man. And he said, as it was in the days of Lot, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. So these things do apply to you and I today. And we need to look at the things that Lot did as opposed to the things that Abraham did and see the mistakes that he made and learn some lessons from Lot. Lessons to be avoided, I would say, at all costs. Now, first of all, look down here in this passage and notice the contrast between Abram and Lot. Abram, what did he do? When he came out of Egypt, he went to Bethel. Bethel simply means house of God in Scripture. Just Bethlehem is house of bread. Bethel is house of God. It was a place where he believed God met with him. He knew that God had spoke with him. And he had built an altar there. It said, at the first. He was coming out of that Egypt, a picture of the world, and the first thing he did is return to that place where God was real in his life, and he had that altar built there, and it said he worshiped. But you don't find that about Lot, do you? No mention of Lot worshiping with Abram. Abraham had been blessed. He had gold, silver, cattle. Lot had been blessed by his association with Abraham, but you don't find anywhere where Lot's given any credit to God for what he has. The different natures here. Now I want you to see, first of all, the choices that he makes, or the choice that he made, down in verse 9. Abram tells him here, he says, is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right. Or if thou depart to the right, then I will go unto the left. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt as thou comest unto Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan. And Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves the one from the other. I want you to see the first thing about Lot is he makes his choice based upon sight. Lot lifted up his eyes and saw all the plain of Jordan. He looked up and he said, man, this place looks like the place. If there was a prime piece of real estate, this is it. This is where I need to be. He made it upon what he saw. And you know, the Bible tells you and I that are saved that we walk not by sight, but by faith. I want you to notice that Lot never prayed and asked the Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Lord, help me to make a right choice here. Help me to put you first and Lord, follow your direction. Lot never does that. He saw something. He looked up and he said, okay, I see a nice piece of property over there. Now listen, that is one of the devil's strongest tools that he uses to get people to go astray. You remember back in the Garden of Eden, what did Eve do? She saw the fruit. She looked at it. She began to examine it. Boy, it's nice. It looks good to eat. It's good for food. It's desired to make one wise. Look at all the benefits of this fruit right here that God said, thou shalt not eat. Oh, well, that, you know. And making a choice based upon sight. Do you realize how many people do this very thing? They make choices based upon something they saw. You know, billboards down the highway. You know, they'll show this beautiful blonde woman in a sleek black dress laying alongside this bottle of booze. You know? And the subliminal message is, buy the bottle and you get the babe. But that's not the way it works. That's a lie. It's something people see and they covet after. Boy, you see these things where the ads for cars or whatever it might be, everything is made to look and gleam and glitter. You go down to the jewelry store, you see them diamonds in those display cases. Man, they radiate. Boy, the lights are all just in the perfect position. And then, boy, them things are glowing, big rocks down there. And boy, pretty soon you think, that's the one for my sweetheart. You pick one out and you put it on her finger and you get it home and it just doesn't quite sparkle like it did in the store. What happened? Well, they knew if they could just get you coveting it, they could just get you seeing it. And so that's the idea. You look at that thing and you go, boy, what did he do? He looked at what he saw. And you know, when you start looking at Hollywood, they make things appear one way and glamorous and glorious. And boy, you know, look at this superstar. Look at this person. I mean, we're in a day and age where they're holding up people for role models that in the old times, we would have thought that those were the people that should have been run out of town on a rail. They take the harlot, they take the whore, they magnify them as big, important people to follow. And you look at this thing, they take the reprobate sports hero, the guy that can't speak three words without some kind of vulgarity coming out of his mouth, and they hold him up and they want Junior to be just like him. And you look at that thing, what is all based on sight? And he looked and he saw. You know, this is one of the biggest problems you have with young people today. They're all looking at someone on the physical appearance. And boy, the girls swoon because he's such a hunk. Oh, he's probably a jerk. He probably knows nothing about being a man, has no character whatsoever. He's been mama's boy from the day he started because he was a pretty baby and she raised him to be a pretty boy. And now he's worth nothing. And I can't even put his hat on right, and his pants are falling off, and she goes, and you look and you go, you know what's wrong? You better start praying. You better start praying. You better start saying, God, show me the heart of that individual. Because I got news for you, folks. We don't maintain those looks very long. I like we go on the website, you know, Fox News website to get our news, and sometimes they'll say stars that lost their looks. And I thought, they all lose their looks. The ones that are maintaining have a big plastic surgeon bill. And some of those look like they're turning into Frankenstein and Mrs. Frankenstein. And you look at that thing, you go, what's going on? It's all the only thing they ever had of value was their looks. That's how they made their fortune. They looked a certain way. And they had nothing. When it come down to the end of life, they had absolutely nothing to hang on to. So they run to the plastic surgeon and say, get me my looks back. Help me. Help me. I'm worthless. What you need to see is beyond the physical. And God can do that. Lot should have prayed. He should have said, boy, I don't trust my eyes. I want to see something here. You know what Job said? He said, I have made a covenant with mine eyes. Why then should I look on a maid? You know what David said in Psalm 101? He said, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. He said, you know, I got to watch these eyes. I got to be careful where they look. I got to be careful what they're taking in. He based his choice upon what he saw. I'll tell you another thing he did. He based his choice on himself. In verse 11 it says there that then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan. Well, it's good for me. You know, he didn't have any concern whatsoever for his uncle Abram, did he? I mean, you would have thought about it. Abram rescued him when he had lost his family. He had lost his own family. Abram took him in. Abram took him in and he watched over him and he raised him up and he nurtured him. All the riches, all the silver, all the cattle that Lot now has, guess who gave it to him? Abram. Abram had invested himself into that young man Lot. Lot has now grown up and Abram gives him a choice and Lot doesn't even say, well, listen, you know, I owe you so much. Why don't you go ahead and choose first? No, you know what it was? Self-centered. Well, this is what I want. This looks good for me. I'll be happy with this. This will make my day, man. I mean, oh boy! I'll take it. And off he goes, no consideration. Let me say this to you. You better start thinking about the people that have invested in you. You know, the Bible says, "Honor thy father and thy mother." It said, "Honor them." How do I honor them? Well, they're not talking about bowing down and worshiping them and lighting candles and spinning beads or something like that. You know what they're talking about? Honor them with your life and the decisions that you make and the character that you display. May your life be a tribute to your father, to your mother, so that they can say, listen, I raised you better than that and you fulfilled that I have raised you to do. But how sad when Abram had to come to the place where he said, look, Lot, we need to part company here. There's a strife, and it needs to go. And why don't you choose? And Lot, to show his true character, all he cared about was Lot. That was it. He looked over there. He said, I like the looks of that. I'll take that. I'm going to take all this part over here. See ya. And many a young person has made that bad way. They said, I don't care about mom. I don't care about dad. I don't care about the family name. I don't care what kind of disgrace I'll bring to my brothers and sisters in Christ. I'm just going to do what I want. We see people do that all the time when they quit church, quit living for God. They don't think about their kids that are following their example and relying on them. You know, what choice do your kids have when you quit and you go wrong? What choice do they have? Are you going to listen to them when they say, oh, we should go to church? I'll decide. You just shut up and go do this. And we tell them, oh, well, can't we go to church tomorrow? Oh, don't worry about that. I'm done with that church. I'm tired of this. That preacher offended me. And those people over there, they, and this, and blah, 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 blah. Well, what did God ever do wrong to you? But they make a choice based upon what they want. And they run from God, and then others suffer because of that. And Abram's that way. Lot is that way. He's not even considering Abram. I notice also his success. He's thinking, boy, the herds would thrive over there on that piece of property. Man, that's going to be good. When I get over there, everything's going to be great. And you don't see any prayer being made. I would say the lure of success kills more Christians than anything else. Well, you know, I got this great job opportunity. All I have to do is miss church every Sunday and most Wednesdays, and I can make a fortune. Bad choice. Bad choice. I tell people all the time, if God can get you that job on that down there, that you don't have to work Sunday, you don't have to work Wednesday, would you wait for it? Well, you don't understand. I gotta. Oh, really? God can't provide for you. God can't take care of you. But you don't understand, preacher. I understand. I understand perfectly well. I've been a Christian a long time. And I know what it's like. I know that my God will provide for me if I pray and I wait on Him. I know it. In my life, I know it. I've turned down jobs. I turned down the job that I have today. When they told me, we want you to come work for us full time, I said, I don't work Sundays and I won't work late on Wednesday nights. Well, 3 months later, they come back again and say, if we give you these hours and you don't have to work Sundays, you don't have to work Wednesday nights, will you take it? 3 months. I could have said, I better take it. It's the only one offered. No. I have my priorities right. This is my priority. This is where to be. And it wouldn't matter whether I was a pastor or not. This would still be my priority. Say, why? I'm a Christian. Christ did more for me than that employer ever did. I tell you, my friend, you better be careful about making decisions based only upon what you see, what you want, and what you can make. You better be careful about that. This guy's making a wrong decision. I want you to see that he made that choice for all the wrong reasons. But notice the chances that he took. Look down there in verse 12. Not only did the choice that Lot made, learn from it. Don't make that same choice based upon those same prerequisites. Look down at verse 12. Abram dwelled in the land of Canaan. Well, isn't that the promised land? Isn't it happy in the land of Canaan? I'm camping in Canaan's happy land. I mean, you know, we sing all these songs about Canaan. And dwelled in the cities of plain and pitched his tent toward Sodom. And the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. I'll tell you the chances that he took here. First of all, he got too close to Sodom. In Psalm 1, it says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly." You start walking around with people that are ungodly. You start listening to their advice. You start taking their mannerisms. You start getting too deep in with them. And you know what happens? You're going to lose the blessings of God in your life. It said, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor sitteth or standeth in the way with sinners." All right? People are sinful. We're supposed to separate from them. We're not supposed to hang around with them. We're not supposed to stand with them. We're supposed to pull away from that. How are we going to reach them? Well, you witness to them is one thing, but to be their best friend and hang out with them is another. Got to be careful about that stuff. You look at this thing, standeth in the way of sinners, and then it says, sitteth in the seat of the scornful. You know what you find in Genesis 19? Genesis 19, verse 1. You know what you find who's sitting in the gate of the city of Sodom? It's Lot. He went from pitching his tent toward Sodom to sitting in the gate of Sodom. And he moved in. He moved in. He took a chance. He began to walk with the Sodomites. Listen, the Bible's very clear about the sin of sexual perversion. We got a world today that keeps trying to tell you that it's not that way. Oh no, those were the old days. Oh no, it's acceptable. God made these people. No, He did not make anybody to be queer, gay, call it what you want. God doesn't do that. If He did, He'd have to go back and apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah. He'd have to say, "I'm sorry for wiping you off the face of the earth." No, the Bible's very clear about it. You know what it is? It's a sin. It's like any sin. It can be forgiven. It can be washed away in the blood of Jesus Christ. But it is a sin. And I don't care how much they try to promote it. I don't care how much the media pushes it. I don't care how many movies you watch to try to tell you some other thing. The Bible says that if a man lieth with a man as he does with a woman, it's an abomination, and they both shall be put to death. And you say, "Well, that's the Old Testament." Well, hold your place here. I'll show you something in the New Testament. Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. And I could show you other places too. 1 Corinthians 6, where he talks about effeminate. Timothy, 2 Timothy. You can go on down through that whole list. Romans chapter 1. Come on down here, if you will, around verse number 26. It says, "For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women." I hope you're reading along here so you just don't think it's my opinion. Vile affections. You know what that is. Vile, something vile. It's putrid. It's dirty, filthy. Even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another. Men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in them the recompense of their error, which was meet. Verse 28, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. They don't want God. They don't want the God of the Bible. They want their own God. They want to make their own worship. They want to make their own Bible. Come down to verse 32. Who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them to do them. You look at that thing now. What'd you say Lot did wrong, preacher? He got too close to Sodom. You say, well, what do you mean by that? Listen, when you start tolerating the Sodomites, pretty soon that's viewed as accepting them. And that's not right. That's not right. You better watch out what you do there. He's not thinking about it. He becomes a chief man. He took a chance with his children. You know what ends up happening if you've read the story? He's got a couple daughters that marry a couple of men in Sodom. Now, they must have found them some straight guys in there, married those guys. But here's the thing. When it came time for judgment to fall, and the angels of God came to get Lot and his wife and his family out, those daughter-in-laws who married those daughters who married those men in that city wouldn't listen to their father. He seemed as one that mocked. You say, why? Because he made a decision years earlier that he wasn't going to worry too much about godly standards. There was money to be made over here near Sodom. And he pitched his tent toward Sodom, and he had those little kids there with him. And he said, well, you know, they got money. We can work business deals, and we can get some things done here. And he took a chance. I tell you, you got to be careful about your children. He exposed them to some wicked and sinful people. Boy, their practices, their languages, he should have protected them. You know, isn't that the job of the dad? Shouldn't he step in there and say, you know, I don't want my kids exposed to this stuff. I don't want them seeing this. I don't want them getting anywhere near this. That's the dad's job. And you know what ends up happening? They're taken prisoner in chapter 14. Chapter 14, boy, these kings come up there. Let me see where we at. Verse 11, chapter 14 of Genesis, verse 11. And they took all the goods of Sodom and Gomorrah and all their victuals and went their way. And they took Lot, Abraham's brother's son, who dwelt in Sodom, and his goods, and departed. You know what they did? They came and they took him captive. You know, to his captors, Lot was just another Sodomite. Where he lived, where he was, he was nobody special. Now to Abram, who was right with God, he saw this thing go down, he prayed, he asked God to help him. He takes about 400 men, he runs over there and whips five kings and their armies and gets back his nephew. And you know where his nephew goes? Right back to Sodom. You know how many times, young person, how many times some of you older folks in here that had Christian parents, how many times they saw you going the wrong way and they began to cry out to God and they said, God, help me bring them back. Father, do something. Help us to get them back. And boy, they finally got you back and they got you right and where you should have been. And then just like the dog that returns to his vomit, the sow to her wallowing in the mire, you run right back to that which caused you all the problem in the first place. And people do it over and over and over again. It's a pastor's heartbreak. Boy, you preach, you teach, you pray, you try to help in every way you can, you counsel, and then you see people just bent on their own destruction. You know, what's wrong? The druggie that goes back to the drugs, the drunkard that goes back to the drink, the adulterer that goes back to their sinful ways. You see it over and over and over, and you're going, how can I help them? How can I reach them? But you know what they've got to do? They've got to come to the place where they learn. He's taken a prisoner. He took a chance. You always take a chance when you don't make the choices based upon the right thing. You know, God's way is always better than our ways. And we need to commit our way unto the Lord, trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. We need to delight ourselves in the way of the Lord, and He, and if we do, if we delight ourselves in the Lord, He'll give us the desires of our heart. We just need to wait on God. I would say to you, young person, don't rush off and get married. Wait on God. Fall in love with Jesus Christ. Let Him be your affection. Let Him be the object of your desire. And then He'll bring the right person at the right time into your life. And it will be a person that meets with your pastor's approval. It will be a person that meets with your parents' approval. It will be the person that's going to be your soul mate, if you will, for the rest of your life, because that's what God plans and intends for you. Fall in love with the Lord. Quit looking around. You might see something you like, but it might not be something that's going to like you. Might not be God's plan. Better pray. Better realize you're taking a chance. Taking a chance. We know people that, you know, the Bible says, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. We know people that thought, well, you know, I'll just marry this guy. He's a nice guy, and he likes my kids, and he's, you know, this and that, and he's this. Is he saved? Well, you know, he believes in God. Oh, really? Is he saved? Well, I don't think so, but maybe, you know. But and you look at it, you go, hey, you're taking a chance. You're going against the Scriptures. What's going to happen? Well, it was a few years later, the guy turned into a sop drunk. Just a drunk. Worthless. Couldn't hold a job. He'd come home at night and pass out in the car in the driveway. You think that's a wonderful life, woman? Never knowing when they're coming home, never knowing where they are. You think that's a good role model for those kids? Took a chance. Took a chance. Pray about it? No. But I saw some things. I saw, you know, he's a nice looking guy. He's got a good job. Seems, it all looks good, and makes my heart go pity, 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 pity. Must be good. Bible says, he that trusteth in his heart is a fool. Trust in your own heart. You ought to trust in the Lord. I want you to see the cost of his mistakes. Look over in Genesis 19. Genesis 19. Genesis 19, verse 12. And the men said unto Lot, hast thou here any besides, son-in-law, and thy sons, and thy daughters, and whatsoever thou hast in the city, bring them out of this place. Isn't it something how God always trying to tell you to come out of that place, get out of that place, get out of this place, don't go to that place, keeps telling them. For we will destroy this place, because the cry of them is waxen great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord has sent us to destroy it. And Lot went out, spake unto his sons-in-law, which had married his daughters, and said, up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. Now I'm going to have to look. But you know, something just came to my mind as I read it. I wonder if this is the first time that Lot mentioned the name of the Lord in the Bible. I bet if you went back and you just looked at Lot's life, I'm guessing here, just based on my knowledge. But I'll bet you went back, he's never called on the Lord or even used the Lord's name until now, when it's desperation time. The Lord will destroy the city, but he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. You see that verse right there, that phrase right there kind of lets you know. He didn't talk to God much, didn't talk about God much, and now all of a sudden he's invoking the name of the Lord. The Lord's going to destroy this place. And his sons-in-laws are looking at him going, what'd you get, religion, old man? What happened to you? You been hitting the wine again? They mocked. And when the morning rose, the angels hastened Lot, saying, arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters, which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. Well, may I submit to you, they've already been consumed in the iniquity of the city. If you remember when all the Sodomites came to the front door and they wanted the men, Lot offered those two pure virgin daughters of his to that crowd. Huh? I'd say they'd already been consumed in the iniquity of the city. And while he lingered, hanging on, still didn't believe the message of God, the men laid hold upon his hand and upon the hand of his wife and upon the hand of his two daughters, of the Lord being merciful unto him. And they brought him forth and set him without the city. They took him out, let him go. Things got worse. Came to pass when they had brought them forth abroad and that he said, "Escape for thy life. Look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain." The very thing Lot had chosen. He chose him all the plain of Jordan. He said, "That's for me." God's angels say, "Get out and don't stop anywhere in the plain. Get out of the plain. You don't belong in the plain." And boy, he didn't want to give it up. And Lot said, "Oh, not too so." And he begins to argue with him. And you know, you look at this thing and everything, the cost of his mistakes cost him everything. He lost his home. He lost his cattle. He lost his gold. He lost his silver. He lost his two married daughters. He lost the sons-in-law and probably the grandchildren that were there. He lost all of that. As he's leaving, his wife looks back down there in verse 26. But his wife looked back from behind him and she became a pillar of salt, lost his wife. And now he's leaving that place. He came with fortune. He came with fame. He came with money. He came with a family. But what's he leaving with? Nothing. He's got two daughters. Everything else is gone. His position in the city, all of it gone. In fact, you know what you find out? He even loses his decency. Get down there in verse 30, he ends up committing incest with his two daughters. And they both have children by their father. What a thing. Now let me ask you here today. You want to have a life like Lot's? You say, "Well, how long was he down in Sodom?" Long enough for his girls to grow up and get married. How long was he down in Sodom? Long enough for Sodom to taint him to the point where he would have given his two pure daughters to a sex-thirsty mob to abuse them. How long was he in Sodom? Too long. Too long. Say why? Made some bad choices. Made choices based on the wrong things. He got too close. Bible says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him." The Bible says, "Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith my God, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and you will be my sons and daughters." When you think about that, God says, "Listen, that world is going to take you down. That world is going to defile you. That world is going to ruin you. That world is going to take everything you have if you let it. In the world ye shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world," Jesus said. You know where the peace, the joy, the love, you know where the success and the prosperity comes from? Our God. Abram didn't have to worry about losing everything. Abram has his name changed to Abraham because he was going to be the father of many nations. He was going to be blessed. And as the brother read earlier in the scriptures, we are blessed because of faithful Abraham. Not because of Lot. Not because of the choices that Lot made, but the choices that Abraham made. Abraham worshipped. Abraham prayed. Abraham sought God's direction in what he did. Lot said, "I like what I see over there. I think I can do okay over there. I'll be all right on my own. I think I can make it." But he didn't. Let me encourage you this morning. I don't care what station of life you're in. I don't care if you're young, you're old. Doesn't matter. But if you've been making your choices based upon the wrong criteria, then let me encourage you to memorize Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Memorize it, hide it in your heart, keep it there. And the Bible says, trust in the Lord, you know, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. You can't figure out the best way, but God will show you the best way. You can't say, well, I got it all planned out, and everything's going to work just like my plans. Any of us that have lived any length of time will tell you, your plans go by the wayside real quick. And you don't have plan A, B, and C to cover all the problems that are coming, because they're coming. You better have God. And you better know that he is your source of strength, your provision, your protector. He's the one that's going to guide and direct you. It is God that we need. It is his direction that we should follow. And when we seek a path, when we seek a way, we ought to be seeking his way. Because it's the safe way. It's the right way. It's the satisfying way. Lot made a lot of bad mistakes. Let's not make the same ones. Let's really get a hold of this thing where we seek unto the Lord, and in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Father, we thank you for your goodness and grace to us this morning. And Lord, we just ask that now you take charge of this invitation period, this invitation time. Father, may we search our hearts this morning. May we search our thoughts. May you just help us to see, Father, where our ways might not be pleasing to you. The choices we've made might not be the right ones. Father, if we're walking too close to the world, help us to see it. Father, if we're pitching our tent toward Sodom, help us to see it. Because it's all destruction. It's all misery. It's all woe. Father, if we're walking in darkness and deception, open our eyes. Father, do that which seemeth thee good right now in our lives. Open our understanding. Help us to be submissive to your will. Enlighten us. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed, no one looking around. Maybe you're here today and you've never been saved. Let me just ask you in the quiet of the moment, is there anything better than what God offers, the gift of eternal life and the forgiveness of sins? Is there anything better than that? And the answer is no, there's nothing better. And so why won't you come today, and in the moment we're going to have an invitation, why don't you come out of your seat, come up here and just get my attention and just say, preacher, I want to be saved. I want to know I'm going to heaven when I die. I want to know it for certain. And I'll have someone take a Bible and show you by the authority of the Word of God how you can be saved. Maybe you're here today and you just keep making your own decisions, your own choices, but you haven't prayed about it. You haven't talked to God about it. Why don't you start praying and talking to God and see what He wants? Quit going on your sight. Quit going on your selfish desires. Quit going on maybe in some place that you might feel successful, and start trusting in God to get you through and to direct your path. Because the cost is too great and you won't want to pay it. There's an old saying that sin will take you farther than you want to go. It'll keep you longer than you want to stay. And it'll cost you more than you want to pay. And it's true. Father, have your will and way in this invitation, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand if you would. As the piano plays, you can come. Altar's open. Others are already coming. You could come right now. We're going to sing 249 if you want to sing. But I trust if the Lord spoke to your heart, you just come to this altar. Because this is where you need to be. You need to be talking to God. Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God I come, I come. Just as I am and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to Thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Just as I am, though tossed about with many a conflict, many a doubt, within, without, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Just as, how about you this morning? Why don't you come? You got a big decision to make. Why don't you come? Talk to God about it. Struggling with some things, come talk to God about it. Let God have His will and way in your life today. Today, let Him have control. Today, let Him take the reins. Today, let Him guide and direct you. Just as I am, Thou wilt receive, wilt welcome, pardon, cleanse, relieve. Because Thy promise I believe, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Just remain in an attitude of prayer as these are praying. Give them a few more, a little bit of time. Such a battle out there today. It's a spiritual battle. It's a spiritual warfare. The only equipment we have is that which God has provided us with. Sword of the Spirit, the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the girdle of truth. You need this armor. Feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. You got to be close to God. You got to be right with God, especially in the day and age in which we live. No room for compromise. Amen. All right, we're going to sing one verse, 370. One verse, and then let's see, we're going to need somebody to pray. Brother Gray, I'll have you dismiss and pray. Prayer. One verse of 370.